Lord,
I just want to pray like Paul and pray that you would continue, God, to open our eyes and turn us from darkness to light and keep steering us away from the power of Satan and towards the power of God. Help us, Lord God, to receive and to be confirmed of that forgiveness of sins, that we might have a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ. And Lord God, continue then to lead us towards repentance and turning to you, God, and demonstrating that repentance by our deeds. And so as I preach, Lord, just fill my mouth with your words and fill our hearts, Lord God, with your resurrection power. Through Christ's name I pray. Amen. Paul was pretty amazing. Here in this text, what Gary just read, he was giving his testimony to a king, a very powerful king. And, you know, whether it was a king or whether it was some slave girl, whether it was in a synagogue when he'd be preaching, whether it was there in Athens, just, you know, he could be on the street, he could be by a river, he could be hanging out with people. That guy found a way to turn the conversation to Christ and to witness in such a way that people came to Jesus through Paul's words. And more than just coming to Jesus, he had a way of discipling to where people would get on fire for God. He was an amazing evangelist and discipler in that way. What I want to encourage us this morning is God's call for us is that we too would share then of God's love and forgiveness, and as often as possible, and be vigilant trying to look for opportunities to be able to share our faith. Gulp. How many of you are serious? Because, you know, like sharing about Jesus, it's awkward, man. And I got to say, too, as I was preparing for the sermon, I was feeling a sense of, I don't know, just self-rebuke. Because, yeah, I shy away sometimes. I got to admit it, you know. And it's hard sometimes because, I mean, being a pastor, it's like, you know, somebody, you're sitting on an airplane or something like that, you strike up conversations. I mean, what do? I just know as soon as I say, well, I'm a pastor, it's like, all of a sudden, it's just in most people, like 60% of them, it's like bells and whistles are going off. Whoop, 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 whoop. Stop, drop, and roll. Get away from him as fast as you can. Whoop, whoop. You know, it's there's just so many stereotypes about pastors and evangelical Christians, and you know, and so, but you know, what if instead of saying, "Well, I'm a pastor," what if I just started, you know, having a phrase like, you know, I'm a purveyor of love and forgiveness. What? You know, I'm a purveyor of love and forgiveness. I got the coolest job. You know, I get an opportunity to just be able to, I mean, all day, every day, teach people about God's love and tell them about God's wonderful ministry of reconciliation and forgiveness. Might be a different way of, you know, introducing what I do. So, you know, because sometimes it's not being tricky or anything, but sometimes we just got to come at it from a different angle. But the point I want to make, too, is I think, and as I was preparing for this sermon, what we need to do is get a little creative and find ways of being able to just present to people what really is good news. I mean, that's the definition of the gospel. It's good news. Because how many people really need to hear about God's love? How many people are just being crushed? I mean, just crushed by the burden of their sin or just so much conflict inside. And they just, you know, if somebody were to approach them in a tactful, articulate way and be able to share with them about the love of God, how many people would be like, oh man, a thirsty horse being led to water, you know? And how many people just because of that inner turmoil and conflict, and they're walking around with it. If they could hear a real sincere message of forgiveness and what it's all about, how many people could be just blessed, I mean blown away blessed by that? You know, I'm talking about this whole series as thriving, you know, and we were meant to thrive, as that song just, the worship team just sang. And it's so true. We were meant to thrive, and you'll never thrive as much as when you have an opportunity to lead somebody to Jesus. I mean, if you've never had that opportunity, trust me, when you are able to help somebody to just, I mean, totally, like Paul put it, lead them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, and help them, but I mean really to get saved, it is powerful. And listen to this quote by Paul to Philemon. It's right there at the top of your sermon notes. And he says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Break it down. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, that we might be active about it. I mean, so we're, as we go through the day, we're kind of being vigilant. We got a radar out, and really just trusting the Holy Spirit to kind of guide us and lead us. And when we connect with somebody, you know, just being able to maybe through a phrase even, or I don't want to say like bait them in a bad way, but you know, oftentimes we become like mirrors where we start to reflect God's love and His joy. And all of a sudden, people can literally come up to you and just go, man, what is it about you? You're always smiling. If you don't mind, Greta, I got to say, Greta had this happen to her. I know she's here. Where are you? There you are, anyway. You know, and it was just, she was at the new place where she's living, and she said, you know, somebody just came up, you're always smiling. You know, what do you, basically they're asking, what do you got? She told them, it's Jesus. It's Jesus in me. So they'll approach you, and you know, but if we can just be aware and know, okay, this is what I'm going to say. So if you can be active in sharing your faith, this is what Paul's saying to Philemon, if you can be active in sharing your faith, get this, so that you'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ Jesus. When we have that full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ Jesus, again, we're shifting towards thriving. So I've been talking lately in my sermons about stewardship. So stewarding our resources, our possessions, our time, our talents, our treasures. But I want to talk about stewarding our testimony too. Because we've received this amazing gift. I mean, if you are a Christian, if you aren't, listen up, because I'm going to explain to you how. You know, what it's all about very quickly here. But we've got this wonderful treasure that God wants us to share, and so we need to be stewards of this story, of our story. Because, you know, somebody talks about a testimony. You're supposed to be willing to share your testimony. Anyway, that churchese sometimes. Well, you just, all you're doing is to testify, is to give an account, to share with somebody about God's love and forgiveness as it's worked in your life. I mean, it's basically, you've got this wonderful treasure, this gift, this story that God wants you to share with other people. And just how God's been working in your life, you know? And sometimes, yeah, you know, we make so much out of this, and it really isn't that big of a deal, and it really isn't that difficult. But I think so many times, we got these lies that we listen to. You know, the lies, first lie, when I got down, people won't want to hear it. Yeah, we fear rejection. And we fear, like, the fear that people are going to, oh, yeah, you're another one of those evangelicals. Jesus freaks. Yeah, right. And the bells and whistles, whoop, whoop, whoop. And maybe so, you know. Maybe, and really, there are people out there that that, you know, would push us away. But we got to take a risk. Jesus wants us to. In fact, Jesus' words are pretty harsh in this sense. He says, you know what, if you're ashamed of me and my words, here on earth, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father up in heaven. Whoa, did you hear that? Ouch. And that does. It's like, ah, I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. And so let's risk it. Let's risk it. And let's just go against that lie. What's another lie? Well, my testimony is unimpressive. I mean, you know, I just, 12 years old, went to a church camp, accepted Jesus, and I've lived, you know, growing up in the church, and I don't have any story about God pulling me from the gutter. I mean, it's not going to impress anybody. What a wonderful testimony. God has kept you from the gutter. You didn't have to go through all that. Praise God. Thank God. That's a great testimony. I mean, you can still share. I love God too much to go that direction that would end up in the gutter, you know? So another lie is just, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I don't know how to articulate and speak, and I'm not that eloquent. It doesn't have to be eloquent. They just tell them, simple as that. Now, some of the aspects that would be in an impactful testimony, first it's just, you know, we become conscious of our sin. And here's the deal. There's a lot of people that go through life without really ever having that crushing consciousness of sin. In other words, where you just come to the realization that you're just a jerk. Now, I mean, really, you're just a jerk. You're miserable. I'm not trying to insult anybody. I mean, when it hits you personally, I just hate this bad stuff inside of me. And when the sin kind of catches up to you, and whatever it is, you know, it can be gossip. When all of a sudden somebody confronts you because they were a victim of your gossip. Oh, man. Is that just crushing? You know, boom, ouch. Hey, yeah, there are those testimonies out there. Man, when I was in the gutter, alcoholic, lost everything. My sin was crushing it. Yeah, there are those testimonies out there. But, you know, when you become conscious of sin, then you know you need a Savior. And it's a real shame for people who have grown up all their lives being good, and then they don't think they really need a Savior. Because there is nothing about being good enough. None of us are. All have sinned. Every one of us have fallen so far short of God's glory. And so we all need a Savior. But it's that consciousness of sin. Man, when it hits you, then the next step is just confessing it. And all that is just, you know, going before God and going, I want to get straight with you. Here is just the reality of who I am, and God, I'm a jerk. And God, there's so much ugliness inside of me, and I want it gone. And then it's repenting from the sin. And here's where some people fall short. They've confessed it, but really, have you repented from it? The repentance of sin literally means you do a 180 and turn away from the sin. You stop going in the direction of the gutter, and you stop it. I mean, if it was the gossip, you stop it. If it was pride, deal with it. I mean, ooh, get a big old hunkin' piece of humble pie and eat away. If it's greed, if it's whatever, you know, it's turning from it. And now living a life of repentance, I mean, turning away from sin and turning towards God, I go that direction. So, you know, I was thinking too, you know, how oftentimes there's like acrostics and this is how, you know, you can remember these things. I was thinking of, when it comes to sin, there's three kind of postures to help you remember. This is becoming conscious of your sin. Remember the publican, Jesus, in Jesus' parable, the Pharisee's up there and he's praying, you know. And then there's the publican who can't even lift his eyes up, stands at a distance and is just beating his chest. Boy, is that somebody who's conscious of their sin. That's what it looks like. And then confession, it looks like this. It's just, confession. And then repentance, it literally is just this. It's a turning. It's a turning from sin. That's how we can remember. But then we don't just leave it with that. Now we get into the good stuff. It's God's love and forgiveness. And so again, when we become conscious of God's love and forgiveness, and this is where, oh, there's so many people out there, they are feeling, crushed by their sin. And boy, if we can just help them and lead them to an understanding of God's love and forgiveness. And too many people think, no, there is no way that I could be forgiven. You don't understand what I've done. How could God ever forgive me of that? But the words, the biblical words are, oh, absolutely, absolutely. God can so, and He wants to, give you His love and forgive you and reconcile you to Him. And then it's the belief. That is like the cornerstone of it all. It's to believe. It's to honestly open your heart to even just believing, could it be true? Could God love me despite it? Despite this ugliness, despite what I've done? Believing. And when you believe, and that is like the cornerstone, and that's why it could be put that simple. Everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. But I mean, we're talking about a belief that is deep, and a belief that when you believe like that, it transforms. And all of a sudden, it's this amazing invasion of love and of joy and of peace, and God's Spirit gets inside of you and starts to just completely rewire and rework everything, and it transforms you. Oh, that's belief. That's the cornerstone of it all. That's the crux. And then it's reflecting that love and forgiveness of God. And again, we can't stop with just believing. We got to go and live it. And share it. And why wouldn't we want to? Oh my God, what You have done for me. Would You do that for my friend? Would You do that for my family? Would You do that for my... I see she needs it. God, would You do that? What You've done for me? It becomes contagious. And you want to share it. And you start reflecting. I think when we truly get to a point of maturity, what we become is more like a mirror. Really. Because all of a sudden we just start reflecting God's love and forgiveness. And all of a sudden, I mean, people start to even see God in you. It's not because you're so great. It's just, you're a mirror. You're just reflecting God and His love and His mercy and His character. We become like mirrors. And as we start to just share and shine His love and His life, like I said, oftentimes they'll approach you now because they become jealous of what you got. All hell's breaking loose and you're at peace? What is... how? Yeah. And so then it gets even better as we start to pursue growth and maturity and through the spiritual disciplines. And that's what I've been preaching on, really, spiritual disciplines. I didn't want to name this sermon series spiritual disciplines. It just didn't sound so appealing. It's thriving. Because if you practice the spiritual disciplines, your faith, your belief will grow. You'll get more of God in you. You'll start to reflect more of God, and you will thrive. Thrive. So we grow in God's grace and love. And then this future glory, and this verse by Paul out of Romans is wonderful. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And in fact, Paul at one point in one of his letters to Corinthians just says, if all we have to hope for is this life, we're to be pitied above everybody else. Because really, I mean, Paul's writing going, look at the scars on my back from the beatings. I'm sitting here writing to you from jail, Are you serious? If all we have to hope for is what we got in this life, we're to be pitied because, yeah, in this life, I'm not saying that by thriving, this is not the health and wealth gospel here. Oh, you're going to be wealthy and rich. And no, you're going to be thriving inside of here. But the way John Piper describes it, he says we as Christians, we're a bunch of hedonists. You know what a hedonist is? Lovers of pleasure. He says, but it's a hedonism that's there in the future. We're anticipating amazing pleasures. We're going to just be bathing in pleasure up in heaven. Here on earth, I might be struggling and suffering even, being persecuted, but thriving all along. And even as that pressure weighs down on us, that external pressure, all it serves to do is press me closer and closer to God. He's embracing me. That's all that conflict and persecution and pressure ever does to a Christian who's just thriving on the inside. So now, do you have to explain all this in a testimony and all these points? No. What I want to do is, this is the process of becoming a Christian and growing to the point of thriving. Whatever you want to zero in on, go for it. That core, that cornerstone is the belief. But as you share it, we should get to the point where we're able to share our story in a 60-second version. If I got a little bit more time, a 3-minute version. And hey, if we're sitting over a cup of coffee and we got a couple hours, 20-minute version. In other words, what I really want to even help guide us in is crafting our testimony, our story, to where we know it, we can articulate it, we can do it in a 60-second little sound bite blip, or a 3-minute impactful, quick, boom, session, or 20 minutes relaxed, right? And here's what I want to do to help. Because we need to be stewards. And you know, if we have and have crafted this testimony, this story of ours, maybe now we won't be so embarrassed and so nervous and jittery and ashamed. And, well, no wonder they don't want to know about anything about the church. Every time I ask, they're just like, ugh. But maybe we'd stop being so nervous about it. And maybe then we could be good stewards. And in fact, start to even grow in excitement. Lord God, give me opportunities to share it now. So here's what I want to do is, I can't teach it here in 20, 25 minutes in a sermon. Wednesday night, I want to invite every one of you. Let's have a little, like an hour and a half, Spanish, taller. What do you say that in English? Workshop, thank you. Anyway, still coming back from Mexico. Too much Spanish in there. Anyway, a short little workshop, like creative writing workshop, where we'll come together and specifically I'll help us to develop our own little stories. And we'll just work on a 60-second version and a 3-minute version, because if you got that, the 20 minutes easy, really. To where we can work on this and grow to become good stewards of this story, this gift that God has given us. So, and if you can't make it Wednesday night at 6, I'm going to repeat it the following Wednesday night. And if somebody says, Wednesday night I'm too busy, I can't do it, come talk to me privately or in a small group. I'll do it some other time too. But this Wednesday, 6 o'clock, and if you want, but dinner, 5:30, we got a dollar dinner here. Hey, throw a buck. Yeah, if you want to be generous, $2 in the plate. And Tom Bivens and his crew, Dory and some of the others, make a great dinner. There you go. A cheap dinner. Come at 5:30 for dinner. Stay 6 o'clock. I'll do this seminar, this little workshop, okay? That's my invitation. And I'd love to have as many of you as can come. We need to know if all of a sudden 20 more people are going to come to the dollar dinner. sign up on the sheet out on the back table out there in the foyer if you're planning on attending the dinner. Please, please accept this invitation. This is something I can honestly say from my heart I believe God wants us to do. He wants us to know how to share our story. Please just come and learn. You know, what's the worst thing that happens? Kind of have an hour and a half and... No, but what's the best thing that could happen? What if in doing that, the next week or the week after, God gives you an opportunity and you're ready and you share your story and that person maybe just get them to come to church. Maybe they receive Jesus because of your story. Now that would be really cool. That would be powerful. So finally, just at the end of everything, we just give God the credit. And that's also part of a good testimony. One of the things I don't like about it, some testimonies, is, whoa, man, and it's all about the drinking days, and they go on and on and on about how horrible they were. And let me tell you stories. Oh, man. Oh, there was this time we went to this bar, and there was this hooker there, and oh, man. No, okay, let's focus. I mean, get the focus as quick as possible on God. You know, give God the glory. All right. So just, I leave you with some questions for reflection, and they're there in your sermon notes. Do you have a testimony? Hint, if you're a Christian, you do. I mean, you got a story about why you believe in Jesus and what he's done for you. All right. So have you thoughtfully developed your 2-minute, 5-minute, and 20-minute version, or 60-second, 3-minute, 20-minute version? Have you thoughtfully developed to where you can articulate it, either quickly, quick soundbite, or in a relaxed way? And if not, would you be willing to attend this workshop? Would you commit to that and come learn how, so that we can steward this gift and that we could truly become fishers of people as Jesus wants us to do, and bring more people into God's kingdom, which would be a dream. So pray with me now. Heavenly Father, please, Lord God, you have given us this amazing gift of salvation. Lord God, we want to be able to share that gift, but man, do we get awkward and stumble and flustered. Just got to be honest, God, confess it, but we don't want to be ashamed of you. Please, God, never look down from heaven and feel like that's what's happening. So help us, God, to be able to understand how and to learn how to just share this wonderful news, this wonderful story, our story, and then use our story, God, to be able to draw people to you, and to, like Paul said, to draw people away from darkness into light, away from the power of Satan, towards the power of God. Please, God, use us in that way. And Lord, baptize a bunch of people now to be evangelists in that way. Literally, just anoint us, Lord God, for this ministry, as Paul called it, the ministry of reconciliation, to help people be reconciled to you. Baptize us, God. Anoint us for that ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.